Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. It is April 29th, 2022. 646-652-4479 is the number. Very excited tonight. It has been a long time since we've been able to have a night like tonight where we have a great guest on the line to talk to us about sports and sports in Atlanta in general. So definitely looking forward to this evening. Before I get started, I do want to thank everybody who supports the show, whether it be you watching on YouTube or you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely shout out to our friends on Facebook, New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, Dirty Bird Nation, Falcons Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, as well as everybody that follows us on Twitter. Really appreciate that. As you see, I have my five-year anniversary shirt from New Pack City from the Originative brand. Sponsors of the show, make sure you hit up the Originative brand on Instagram. You got to make sure you do that. Make sure you let them know that Around the ATL sent you. I'll make sure I go ahead and scroll that on the bottom real quick as y'all get started here. Let's go ahead and bring in our co-host for tonight, Mr. Jordan Jackson. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Doing well. Just, you know, out and about around the ATL as usual. Today I'm coming from you from the lovely Gwinnett County, a place where some people would say it's not Atlanta, but we love all of our Atlanta listeners, so I'm not going to say anything like that. In fact, I tend to side with Mr. Ludacris in that particular debate.
There you go, there you go.
Everybody on Hawks Twitter, by the way, Falcons Twitter, Atlanta Sports Twitter in general, a lot of good interaction has been going on in regards to everything that's been happening with the Hawks as well as the NFL draft. So shout out to those guys.
Appreciate it. One more time for the Originative brand as well. Mr. Jamal Price is the owner. If you want anything Atlanta sports centric as far as sports gear, Braves, Falcons, the Atlanta Hawks, obviously, make sure you hit them up and make sure you let them know that we sent you. And, of course, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page, IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube and Instagram, as I mentioned. But also follow myself and my co-host, Jordan Jackson, at Intellect ATL or Jordan23ATL. That being said, since the beginning of Around the ATL, one of my goals was to have interviews of personalities in Atlanta related to sports, whether it was Angel McCautry from the Atlanta Dream, or former head coach of the Dream, Nicky Collins, players like John Collins, Dominique Wilkins, parents of some of our players like Lyria Collins or Anthony Prince, veterans of the broadcast game like Bob Rathman or Steve Holman. I wanted to be able to have an audience listen to what those guests had to say about sports and enjoy the conversation. So tonight we have another opportunity to do just that. 40 years as a sports broadcaster, 15 years as the host of Hawks Live and Braves Live, a virtual professional of the game. He knows what he's talking about, and you respect it. All the Atlanta sports fans love him, and they always look forward to him telling the story of what today's game had to bring for us. So that's going to welcome in our guest, Mr. Jerome Jurinovich. Jerome, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Boy, that's quite a buildup. I hope I don't disappoint and entertain your listeners there and your viewers. I mean, it is what it is, but I'm happy to spend some time with you. You know, I'm retired now, but anytime somebody wants to talk about the Hawks or the Braves, I am all in. I am all in. You know, I worked at CNN for 15 years, so we had to cover all the teams. And I went out to L.A. and Denver, and then I came back for that job you were just talking about. And when you work closely with an organization the way I did with both the Braves and the Hawks, man, they dig down deep into your heart, and that will never leave. Never. I am going to be the biggest Braves and Hawks fan till the day they drop me in the earth.
Yeah, it's ingrained in you, Jerome. And one of the things before we get started that, you know, talking to Bob and talking to Steve, you know they are fans of the team. They're just not there because, you know, of course, they're getting paid, obviously, right? And they're doing what they
right.
love, but they're physically in it. If you ever listen to a Steve Holmes broadcast, you know that for a fact. So I definitely appreciate you mentioning that. One thing I do want to kind of throw at you, Jerome, you have some fans on Facebook there that saw that you were going to be on the show, and they know that how you're their fur baby friend. So Bessie Holbrook in Atlanta, I wanted to make sure you got your shout
nice.
Out for
that is absolutely fantastic, man. Rescue a dog, baby. It'll be the best experience of your life.
I'm trying to get one for my mom, actually, to tell you the truth, so I'm working on it. So actually, you just right. mentioned it. How is being retired treating you so far? Of course, it hasn't been a long time just yet, but how's retired life treating you so far?
So far, it's been absolutely fantastic, and I'll be honest with you, I don't miss it one iota. It is great to be able to tune on the game, and if it, I hate to say it, but if it gets ugly, you know, you just flip over to HBO or whatever. And, you know, and it's great that, hey, if you miss the first inning, you miss the first inning because you're out, whatever. And I don't want to date myself, but it's nice to take a nap in the afternoon every once in a while. I never did that before in my life, but sometimes you get so bored and you're so active during the day. I'm doing stuff during the day that I would never do because I had to be at the ballpark by 3. So
yeah.
You don't want to do a lot of yard work. You don't want to be doing X, Y, and Z and all this stuff. Well, now I don't have any excuse. So I'm doing all this, and next thing you know, by 4 o'clock, I'm like, man, I need to sit out for 20 minutes before I start working on dinner.
Yeah, got to take that chill pill now, boy. I tell you, I used to work at the Affinity Club there at SunTrust, now it's Truist. And so, yeah, I know I had to be at the ballpark at 3 o'clock. So I know those days, and sometimes didn't get home till 2 a.m., so, yeah, I can definitely relate to those days for sure. I mean, I actually do miss it a little bit. I won't lie on that end, but the hours, sometimes they can get to you.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. You know, opening day, I sat there. I'm like, man, I wanted to be at the ballpark so bad because I was there for 15 straight, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah, that's all right. You know, I'll be at the ballpark plenty this summer, though, so I'll get to see the guys in person. I didn't get to as many Hawks games as I would have liked. I got to enough. There's never really enough, is there, if you're a fan?
Of course not.
So, you know, but, you know, it's okay. It's all right. Life is good.
And,
I appreciate you asking.
First of all, I want to say it's a pleasure to have you on the show, to get an opportunity
Thanks.
To speak with you live and direct. A quick follow-up question to Chris's question. Like, I'm a dog lover, a pet lover myself. I have a dog who showed up at a former co-worker's rental property, and she was going to take him to the pound, and I've had him ever since, a great dog. And also last year, around playoff time, I found a kitten in the middle of the street, in the middle of Jonesboro Road, and so he came home with me. Now, his name is Burrow because of where I found him. And one of the things I saw when you retired, and you said you wanted to do some volunteer work with the Humane Society, just wanted to ask, you know, if you had a chance to do any of that yet, and if so, how's that going?
I haven't yet, and the reason why is because when I first retired, they were closed down for the most part to visitors because of the COVID rules, and then I had knee surgery, so I've been hobbling on that, so I'm waiting until that gets back to 100% before I start doing that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that you brought that up because that is definitely on my agenda. That was not smoke and mirrors. And thank you for rescuing both of those animals, by the way. That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. I just lost one of mine about 3 weeks ago, but I'm down to one dog now. I had four, and they're all rescues, and they're all near and dear to my heart. So this last one I have, the poor little baby, she's 15. She's starting to have a myriad of health issues. And once she goes, then I'm going to be back really active. I want to spend as much time as I can with her right now.
Yes, sir. I lost one a couple of years back as well. I had two dogs, so I definitely know the pain of that, you know. But you know, unfortunately, though, that's a part of it. It's worth it with the joy they bring to you while they're here.
Yeah, they break your heart at the end, but they're worth it for all the time in between.
Yes, sir.
Jerome, I have a question for you. So the past calendar year, give or take, we have had some tremendous things happen in Atlanta sports. The Braves getting to the World Series and winning it. The Hawks making it to the Eastern Conference Finals last summer. UGA, of course, winning the national championship. Is there a time equivalent-wise that you can remember where a whole bunch of things were happening in the Atlanta sports world to where, like, again, like championships and just all the cool things that was happening in Atlanta at the same time?
The same time. Not at the same time. You know, I first moved in here at the end of 1986. And, you know, the Dominique Wilkins Hawks were thriving, but unfortunately, the entire Eastern Conference of the NBA, it seemed every team was so good. And at that time, the Falcons were so-so, and the Braves were not good. And then, you know, the Braves had that miracle run, you know, starting in 91, but they couldn't get over the hump, even though they got into a couple of World Series, and they just kept winning division after, obviously, the infamous trade of Neat, and the Hawks kind of took a back seat for a while, and they had good success with Steve Smith and company and Dikembe, and then they kind of went down. So, you know, until Vic came along, the Falcons were an afterthought in the NFL, even here in Atlanta. I mean, they were the number three team. And every team seemed to have these different peaks and valleys, and none of them really seemed to do anything at the same time. And what I thought was tremendously unfair was Atlanta got this negative stereotype around the country. Oh, they can't win the big one. You know, they can't win. They can't do this. They can't do that. And this past, you know, this past 365 days has put that to rest. I mean, you got Georgia winning the championship, the Braves winning the World Series, the Hawks. Most people last year predicted the Hawks to lose to the Knicks in the first round. And they went all the way to the Eastern Finals. And I'm not saying they would have beat the Bucks, but if Trey doesn't step on that referee's foot, who knows what happens?
Jerome, we would have beat the Bucks.
That goes six,
on.
Seven games. You know? Hey, look, I'm not saying they were better than the Bucks. I'm not saying they were going to beat them. I'm just saying they don't look that bad. You know what I mean? Let's face it. You know, remember when they won 60 games when Bud was here? If Pablo Cephalosha doesn't suffer that broken leg, that's a completely different team going into the playoffs.
Yes, sure is.
Now, I'm not saying they would have beat LeBron that year, but they sure as heck wouldn't have got swept in the conference finals. There's just no way that happens, or they get in there against LeBron. That just doesn't happen. So, you know, I mean, they had their share of bad luck, but I think this past year, it was you can go ahead and put that in the rearview mirror and not worry about it. Now, the Hawks this year, I'll be the first to tell you, I was thoroughly disappointed. They still need another player. They still need another player. Remember last year, they were at their best when Herter was coming off the bench, you know, and they still need that missing piece. They still need one big-name player in there. I mean, I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is, but they still need one more. They just, I think that's plainly obvious.
Yeah, you can't get around it anymore. So, yeah, it's, we're at that point now. A decision will have to be made, and we'll find out this offseason, I guess, in the meantime. 646-652-4479. Jordan, I know you have another question for Mr. Jurinovich.
Yes, sir. Having worked in your local market, starting out of Erie, Pennsylvania, moving to Denver, Colorado, and then to Los Angeles, what makes Atlanta stand out differently compared to the other markets you've worked in, and how has Atlanta changed as a media market since you first started here in Atlanta?
Well, you know, I'm from outside Pittsburgh. I got my start up there in Erie, Pennsylvania. I was actually in New York City for just the summer working at behind the scenes as an editor. So I get this on-camera job on the weekends in Erie, and I'm a photographer, editor during the week. And I just came down here on vacation. My best friend from high school had moved down here for a job, and I hadn't seen him since I stood up in his wedding about 8 months earlier. I came down on vacation. Next thing I know, I run into a guy at church and I used to work with, and he's at CNN. I just stumbled into that job. So I moved here in 86, and I'm here for 15 years, basically. Then I moved to Los Angeles for four, Denver for two. I was working with the Nuggets and the Avalanche out there, and that led to this job. And the first 15 versus this past 15, they were totally different. I moved here when Atlanta was just at the start of that massive growth. It was just over 2 million people when I moved here. Now we're pushing, what, like six? It's crazy. When I moved away and I came back, Midtown looked completely different with all the high-rises and the housing. Buckhead, completely different. It was transformed. I mean, I know the Olympics had a lot to do with that, and I was still here. I didn't move away until 01. But it was night and day. It was growing as a media market, of course, in the 80s and the 90s, but nothing like it is today. And, you know, look, in the time since I've returned here, we pick up Atlanta United. They end up winning a championship. It is just growth like crazy here. And you've got not one but two new stadiums for baseball, and then you're on your second football stadium. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
You go through two stadiums. You know, you think 15 years, you're out. You know, 20 years, you're out. And there was really nothing wrong with Turner Field, but you know, both of these stadiums are so much better than the previous ones, and they were better than the ones before that. I mean, it's just an amazing city right now. And one thing I've always told everybody, I said, look. Even when I moved here in the 86, it was fantastic because you had Delta. It was a hub. Everybody had to come through Atlanta. And Atlanta has always had fantastic restaurants. I don't care where you are in this city, fantastic restaurants. And I used to tell all my friends when they came here, they always wanted to go to the girly bars, if you know what I mean, because Atlanta was famous for that in the 80s. And I'm like, dude, you're going to love the restaurants in this city. I lived in New York, but I was a young pup. I didn't know any better, and I didn't have any money either. But look, Denver's a fantastic city, totally different than Atlanta. But I just love this city. I love what it has to offer. There is almost anything you want to do, you can do here in Atlanta, short of snow skiing. You know,
yeah.
It offers everything. It offers incredibly affordable housing. It offers just that great airport. It offers great entertainment. The entertainment venues, I don't care what kind of music you like. You can see fantastic acts, go to fantastic bars and venues here. The restaurants are phenomenal. It's just a great city. It has everything going for it.
Definitely. I've lived in Atlanta for about a decade. And, again, I can agree with the growth part of it. And also definitely the restaurant. Like, literally, if you really wanted to, you would never go to the same restaurant twice. And it would take you a few years for sure to go to all of them. You know, so, you know, and then, of course, on the entertainment side, like you said, you know, Atlanta has all the culture that you could ever want. And it's international because of the airport. So, again, best scenario of all time is, yeah, that's why people keep coming to Atlanta. People keep saying we full, but people still keep coming. They're moving somewhere, obviously.
I know. It's more than doubled in size since I moved here. It's just absolutely incredible. Now, the traffic's horrible, but you got to find something to complain about, right? I mean, the traffic.
You know. There got to be something. Jerome, I do have a question kind of going into, you know, the early years, I guess you could say, to an extent. Was there a particular moment that occurred that steered you in the direction of television and broadcasting and sports all at the same time? Is that something that naturally came to you, or was there a moment that said, you know what, this is something that I know I can do and I want to do it for a long time?
Yes and no. I knew from an early age, even in high school, that I wanted to work in television. I used to watch TV with my folks. You know, they would watch these shows. And when the commercials came on, even as like a 15, 16-year-old, I was always trying to figure out who they were aiming the commercial at. What was their target audience? And when I went to college, I wanted to write and produce commercials. I wanted to get into commercial advertising on the electronic side. But in that aspect of this business, only the salespeople make any money. The creative people don't make all that really good money. So I looked at it like, whatever. But I got a job as a senior in high school or a senior in college, working as a camera operator at the CBS affiliate in Erie. And one weekend they said, hey, do you want to make some overtime this Sunday? I said, sure. What do you need me to do? They said, we need you to grab a camera and go down to the Steelers game. And just, you know, you run camera, we'll send a reporter down with you. And I'm a senior in college, and I'm standing in the locker room with Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris and John Stallworth. And I'm looking at these guys, like idolized these guys for the last 10 years of my life. And, I mean, you get paid for this? I would have done it for free. And that moment right there is when I knew I wanted to work in television sports. And I just worked my way into that job. And, you know, Erie had a horrible economy. It was not, you know, the greatest place to live for a young single guy. It's a great place to raise a family. However, it's freezing cold there. But the good part is you can go to the Steelers, the Browns, and the Bills game every Sunday. And in the summertime, you can run over and do the Indians or down to Pittsburgh and do the Pirates. So for a kid right out of college, I was doing high school football on Friday like everybody in America, but on Sundays I was talking to Bernie Kosar and Terry Bradshaw. And it was just an incredible experience for me. And it just opened tremendous doors for me. And then next thing I know, I'm at CNN, and CNN after 15 years decides they want to cut back on sports. And Los Angeles called me out of the blue and said, come on out. I've always wanted to live in LA since I was a little kid watching that Rose Bowl. I grew up right on the Pennsylvania-Ohio line, and I hated Ohio State. I hated Ohio State. And every year in the Rose Bowl, they would go out there and lose to USC. And, of course, the USC cheerleaders had those sweaters on, and I was like 10 years old. I'm like, this is the greatest city in the world. I got to get out there. And I loved living in L.A., but it was, come on, every young boy that age in the 70s was loving USC. And they were my second favorite team. I loved Penn State, and I just hated Ohio State. So they always beat Ohio State. I knew I wanted to live in L.A. with those palm trees. And it was a great experience, 4 years. Impossible to buy a home out there unless you were a multi-millionaire. But the weather was awesome. The experience was awesome. That led to my job in Denver. And I didn't think I'd ever move back to a city where it snowed that much. And I did, and I was there 2 years, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. And this job opened up, and I got this job because we were still doing the Thrashers. Everybody applied for the job that I had. Nobody knew anything about hockey. Nobody knew anything about hockey. And I was out there doing the Colorado Avalanche with Joe Sakic, you know, and Rob Blake. These guys are in the Hall of Fame, multiple Stanley Cup winners. And I mean, they were like, okay. Nobody knew the difference between a red line and a blue line. I'm out here with these freaking NHL All-Stars, one of the best teams in hockey, and that's what got me the job. And, man, I'm grateful for that. And then we lose the Thrashers after 2 years, but that's all right. I mean, I wish we still had hockey because I love that sport, but it just opened the opportunity for me to do even more Braves and Hawks games. So that was a good thing.
Well, we really appreciate that fact that, of how those – sometimes you never know where dominoes will, you know, lie at a certain point when they start falling. And I'm glad that they fell all the way here back to Atlanta. And, of course, Hawks Live and Braves Live, where, you know, you've done some great work over the years. And so many people are, again, fans of yours just because of that. Actually, I will go ahead. I'm going to jump ahead real quick. Bobby D. Blassingame said you need to come back to Bally's, just to let you know. I know you're not going to, but he just said you got to come back, so I just had to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a nice sentiment. I'm happy sitting at home on the couch watching the games. Jeff Schultz, the esteemed writer, you know, now with The Athletic, longtime AJC writer, when the Hawks and Braves, one played during the day and one played in the evening, and he tweeted out a picture of both arenas. And he said, oh, this is great. And I said, it's even better watching on the couch and able to take a nap in between. And he just was laughing. He was giving me grief. He's calling me grandpa. I said, hey, if the shoe fits, what are you going to do?
Uh-oh.
Hey, I do want to say one thing. I want to tell you guys a quick story. It may not be quick, but I'll try to make it quick. And this is a piece of advice for everybody, not just people that want to work in sports, but for anybody and everybody. Always make sure that you keep in touch with your contacts and never overlook the opportunity to meet somebody. When I worked at CNN, I worked for a man named Bill McPhail. Bill was the very first president of CBS Sports. So he hired all the big names that you could possibly imagine that worked at CBS in the 60s and the 70s. He's the one that hired Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall had no TV experience. And he hired all the big names back in those days. Bill's brother Lee was the president of the Yankees at one time and then president of the American League. He's actually the guy that made the famous pine tar rule against the Yankees. Father, Lee and Bill's father was Lee Sr. He also was president of the Yankees and president of the American League in their careers. So anyway, when Bill was in charge of CBS, there wasn't a national contract for the NFL at that time, believe it or not. The CBS stations showed the New York Giants all over the country. That was unbelievable. So anyway, he becomes good friends with Pete Rozelle. The NFL decides to start a national network, and they're negotiating with Bill left and right, Bill left and right. Well, one of the guys from one of the NFL teams, he was a lower management guy. He lost his job. He goes to Bill and he says, "Bill, you know, I'm looking for work." And Bill hired him to become vice president of CBS Sports. The only thing this guy knew about TV was how to turn one on. And his name was Tex Schramm. And one day, the NFL is having an awards dinner, and they invite Bill. And Bill doesn't want to go. He's getting invited to these things every week, being the president of the network, right? So Bill goes, "Hey, Tex, why don't you go to this award dinner tonight? Maybe you'll see some of your old NFL friends and, you know, say hi to people you haven't seen in a while." So he does. Tex Schramm goes to this dinner. He sits at a table. He sits next to a guy who he had heard of, but he had never met before. He knew the name, but he had never met the guy before. And then 2 weeks later, Tex Schramm walks into Bill's office and goes, "Bill, I don't know how to say this to you, but I've been working here 3.5 months. I have to quit. I got an opportunity to get back in the NFL. There's this brand new team in Dallas, and they're going to hire me to become the general manager." And Bill goes, "Tex, that's fantastic. Not only are you getting back in the NFL, you're going to get a chance to build a brand new organization from the start named the Dallas Cowboys. I can't be more happier for you." Tex Schramm, within a week, hires the guy that he was sitting next to at that dinner. He had never met Tom Landry before in his life. If he doesn't go to that dinner that night, Bill goes instead of Tex. The whole history of the Cowboys and the NFL, as all of us know it, is completely changed. So my point to this story is you just don't know who you're going to sit next to or talk to or meet. So when you go in these situations, man, take advantage of them. Because Tex went and met Tom Landry, and together they formed one of the dynasties in the NFL. And if he doesn't go to that, it just blows me away. If he doesn't go to that dinner, they don't hire Tom Landry. Isn't that crazy?
That is an amazing story, and actually answered one of my questions I was going to ask a little bit later, in regards to just what would be how would you talk to people and let people know as far as pursuing goals and things of that nature as far as broadcasting, but like you said, anything, and one of it is stay in contact with people because you never know where they lie. So that was a perfect segue into that. Story there. That's a really cool story too. Tom Landry just sitting there at the table. That's pretty cool.
That's just he just happened to sit next to him at the same table and they'd never met. That is, and then within a month they're working together and building the Cowboys. That's just crazy when you think.
I need to go out to dinner more.
But, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're sitting around at a bar talking to somebody, just keep in touch with them. You just never know. You just never know. Anyway. So wow. I want to tell you another story. I'm working in Erie, and I'm new on air. I've been on there for maybe, 3 months or so. And, I'm still learning. I knew the business, but, as far as your delivery and all that. And we didn't have early news on Sundays because of the NFL and CBS had the NBA package at the time. So I showed as many NBA highlights as I could. Now, the NBA wasn't all that popular in 84 and 85. It was just starting to grow with the Larry and Magic rivalry. But outside of Boston and L.A., you know, the Knicks were terrible. The Cavaliers were terrible. Buffalo didn't have a team. Pittsburgh didn't have a team. So Erie didn't, you know, it wasn't a big NBA city. But I loved basketball. So, you know, I showed a lot of it. And after 3 months, I go to this sports banquet at the small little high school. And they were going to have a couple of the Pirates, a couple of the Indians, maybe one or two Steelers and Browns there. And, you know, for Erie, that's a great opportunity to meet these pro athletes, you know, without having to spend the whole weekend going to a game. So I go down there, and this guy grabs me as I go to walk in the door. And he goes, "Hey, you the new guy?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I got to tell you, I love the NBA, and you're the only one that shows NBA highlights." He goes, I just want you to know that a lot of people like watching you because of that. You should keep it up." And I said, "Oh, thank you very much. I will, because I love it too." And he goes, "I'm going to give you a little secret." He goes, there's a special guest coming tonight, and they're going to bring him in through the kitchen, the back door." And he goes, "If you want to get an interview, you better get in there, and trust me, you're going to want to interview this guy." So I'm looking out front. There's Willie Stargell. Don Robinson was a pitcher for the Pirates. I can't remember who was there from the Indians. And the other TV stations are interviewing them, and I got a chance to talk to Stargell. And the guy's telling me, "Get in the kitchen, get in the kitchen." So my point to the story is sometimes you have to take a chance. So I go in this kitchen, and I'm just standing there with my cameraman. And I'm thinking, I'm either making the biggest mistake of my early career or something special is going to happen. But you got to roll the dice, right? And it's one of those old banquet style, you know, they had the doors, you know, one goes in, one goes out, you know, the waiter with nut, you know. And I'm in everybody's way, and all of a sudden, the back door opens to the kitchen. And it's like a scene out of Goodfellas, you know. All these big Italian guys come walking in these silk suits, and I'm like, holy shit. And I look right behind them, it's Joe DiMaggio.
No.
Like, oh, my God. I tell my cameraman, turn the light on. And they come walking down. I go, "Mr. DiMaggio, could I ask you a few questions?" He goes, "Absolutely, young man." And he was just like everything you ever heard about the guy. He was first class, so smooth. I was so intimidated. I called him Mr. DiMaggio on every question. It was so embarrassing. But he was awesome. It was just unbelievable. And he walked away. He allowed me to ask him 5 questions, and he left. And I'm looking around, and people are looking at me like, "Do you realize you just talked to Joe DiMaggio?" And I remember, I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. I mean, I met Hank Aaron. I had the luxury of talking to Hank multiple times, you know, in my career working with the Braves. And I only met Willie Mays once. But my goodness, I'm sitting there going, I'm 21 years old, and I'm talking to Joe DiMaggio. The point of that is, take a chance.
Yeah. You know?
Take a chance. I mean, what's it going to hurt? I don't know. Those are some crazy experiences I had early in my career. But it was fun. You know, it was good fun.
I appreciate that so much, because it really gets down to, you know, the worst thing that can happen is you get a no, or you can't go in there, or, you know, we're going to hit you if you keep moving, you know. But the best case scenario is you get to interview baseball royalty at its best. And Joe DiMaggio,
yeah.
That was an amazing story, yeah. There, for sure.
Yeah, and the other two stations didn't get him because they were out front by the time he walked out into the banquet hall. Security was out there just paving away, you know, path for him. So I took the chance to go in the kitchen, and it paid off for me. So, you know, I'm not telling everybody to hang out in the kitchen, but I'm just telling people sometimes you
gotta
take the chance.
Wow.
Wow, that's an incredible story. Wow, amazing. It's just amazing what can happen if you're in the right place at the right time sometimes, and you actually do take that initiative. Rob, you touched on speaking to Hank Aaron, and that was one of the questions I had. You know, unfortunately, we did lose Hank recently. And in fact, my grandfather, his name is Henry, and he was nicknamed Hank after Hank Aaron. Just talk a little bit. Well, I just want to say I was so happy to see the Braves run it for Hank this past year, and I'd just like to hear a little bit more about some of your interactions with Hank Aaron, who, for my money, is the greatest of all time. Yeah, just like to hear a little bit more about some of those interactions.
Well, you know, one of the true honors of my career involves Hank, but unfortunately, it was when he passed. I got to host. We carried live the Braves tribute to Hank out at what's now Truist. And then the next day, we also broadcast live his funeral. And both of those were picked up by all the Bally regionals across the country. So I was hosting them, a nationwide event. And I did it with Mike Glenn was on one of them. Brian Jordan was, and Paul Byrd were on the other. And it was just, I can't tell you how much that meant to me to be able to be the host, to be able to speak about Hank's life, not just what he did on the field, but just the person he was, what he did as a young man, how he changed the game. So many people focus on Jackie Robinson, and rightly so, but they overlook the contributions that Hank Aaron also gave, because he didn't pound the table, but he never shied away from a question. And he was always so eloquent about his responses, but yet he was also very stern and insightful. You brought up something that was happening in the civil rights or something of racial injustice at the time. Hank never held back his opinion. He never did. And because of the way that he gave it, he was so widely respected over it. You know, the writers, and let's face it, in the 60s, it was a different time, okay? It was all white writers. Everybody was white. They had a different view of Black America, a wrong view of Black America. And, for them to hear a Black athlete make a comment, they would dismiss that athlete, and they would give him a negative view in other aspects of him. You know, they'd make snide remarks about him in the newspaper, you know, based on his performance, only because they didn't like his response to a question the day before. He never did that with Hank. He never did that with Hank. Hank was so classy. A couple of years ago, Marquise Grissom asked me to come to his charity event and interview Bo Jackson for the crowd, which was awesome. Bo was just incredible. And the year before, I was working a Hawks game. I couldn't do it. Hank was the main event. But Hank and his wife were at that one. And I had met Hank several times, but my wife hadn't. And my wife cracks me up. She's a big sports fan, but she's real quiet, meek, and mild. You know, she would never run up to a player, but she just enjoys meeting them. And, you know, him and Billy, they were just so gracious to my wife. It was just, I don't know how you explain that to people. I mean, the guy was just awesome. You know, it's so easy for a man of that magnitude to be dismissive or to sit there and be short with you. Hank was never that way. He was just, he's just a great guy. He was a great guy. And he wasn't just a legendary ball player. He was a legendary person. I think that's the best way to describe Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron, I was this close to him, the people watching on YouTube, this close to him one time at an event that we were setting up for him at SunTrust Park a couple of years ago. And the one word I think of is dignity. You know, he's such a dignified and established person. Besides the baseball part, we know who he is, of course, but besides that, he would still be dignified even if he never played baseball before. So that's how I looked at him. Every time you would see him every now and again around the ballpark or whatnot for events and things of that nature. So I definitely appreciate that. We wish he had been here to watch the Braves win that World Series, but, we're very happy that they won it, though, too, in regards to that and his memory and everything. So definitely appreciate that story.
Looking down from above, you know, smiling at what took place to see those guys win the World Championship. As both of you guys did, active. I never got the opportunity to meet him, but that's what just jumped off the screen with me as well, you know, because every time he'd ever be interviewed, I'd be locked in, because I just heard so much about him from my grandfather and the older guys, you know, as I was growing up. So he just exuded class is the way I would describe him.
I don't like to talk religion with anybody because I respect everybody's opinion, but I'll say this. Hank was watching that World Series, if you know what I mean. He just wasn't with us, but he was watching. You know, his spirit was in that
ballpark. I don't
mind
that at all, personally, because I think I'm probably closer along the lines you are, but I'll just say I absolutely agree. He definitely was watching that.
Yeah.
Well, Jerome, I want to say it has been a pleasure and an honor having you on the show this evening. Again, thank you for taking the time out, first of all. I mentioned some of your compadres in the business earlier. They've been on the show a few times over the years, and this is actually our first interview of 2022. So we definitely, you know, are ecstatic that you were able to be on. But I do have one thing for you before we get ready to let you go for the evening. Of course, we're in that
okay,
part
well,
of the
let me,
year.
Let me just ask you this real quick. I'm
sure.
The first interview, so I'm the leadoff man for 2022. That you're saying I'm the
yes.
slowest leadoff man in the history of sports. But I
you're
appreciate
the man.
Being number
you
one.
You are the man.
All right, what do you got for me? What do you got?
Well, of course, we're at that part of the year where you know you have to look at retooling your football teams in the NFL. You know, the city of Atlanta has a football team as the Atlanta Falcons. So I just want to get your quick opinion on our first round pick yesterday.
Well, first of all, I'm a diehard Steeler fan, so I like our pick up there. Local kid staying home. He's a pretty darn good quarterback. We're going to need a quarterback. Now, as far as the Falcons are concerned, here's the one thing about the Falcons that just kills me. By the way, when I moved here, I was so excited to be, to root for the Falcons. I was on a apartment complex. I was living out in Gwinnett at the time, and Gwinnett's part of Atlanta. I don't care what you guys say. We're all Atlanta. So anyway, I'm out there, and I got to know. That's right. And lo and behold, the girl I'm dating, she's taking these aerobics classes with these other women. They're all buddies. And next thing you know, that's David Archer's, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or his wife's. Next thing I know, I'm at a Braves game with David Archer, and it was the year that they got really good. I've always rooted for the Falcons. I've always wanted them to win. But it just kills me that organization just keeps tripping over itself. I thought that was a good pick yesterday. I think I'm a casual Falcons fan, so I don't have the insight to the team that you guys do because you probably live and die with them. I live and die with Pittsburgh. But, look, that team needs receivers. That team needs receivers bad. So I like this kid. They're going to have – look, I still think you got an issue with quarterback there, but you got some big guys throwing to catch the ball. You know, and that's good. When Mariota goes back to pass, he's not going to have any problems seeing which one is his receiver because those guys are all pretty big guys. I think it's a good call. That being said, being a Penn State guy, I don't know if he's still available. I think the round two is already on. But there's this kid out of Penn State, Ibuke, or however you say his last name. He's an edge rusher.
We drafted him.
Did Falcons get him?
Yep.
You're going to love this kid. He's got a high motor. The kid has got a high motor. And, I think he's going to – I think that's a nice – good. I'm glad. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. And you know what also I'm excited about? The fact that the Steelers are playing here in Atlanta this year. I can't wait.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, it all comes together for you, Jerome. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
He actually lived in Pittsburgh. During the 70s, the glory years, when they were winning championships, she got a chance to meet a couple of those guys, Franco Harris and Lynn, some one of those guys. But the thing about Pittsburgh is they have fans everywhere. It's like if they come in here and whoop us this year, you're going to see yellow tiles waving everywhere because they're the biggest fan base.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of terrible tiles inside that stadium. It's going to be a down year for the Steelers. They're in a rebuilding mode. But you know what? The beauty of the Steelers is a bad year for them is 8 or 9 wins. You know, that's a bad year for them. So that organization probably is as much as any organization in the NFL. They know what they're doing. And they've been doing it since Chuck Noll was hired in 69. So, you know, even if they're
– they've only had three coaches.
Year, that's okay. Yeah. And each one of them has won a Super Bowl. It's just amazing what they do.
Right.
I will say this, though, about why the Falcons needed to take that wide receiver yesterday because I've always been hesitant to take wide receivers in the first round because there are so many skilled wide receivers out there. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, we got Hines Ward in the third round. We got Antonio Brown in the sixth round. There are steals out there at that position because it's such an athletic position, and sports has changed in 50 years. You know, I mean, when you got a chance to get a guy like Julio, you get him. I understand that. But my point is you could get a really good wide receiver in the third and fourth round. You just got to do your homework. And
there you go.
But, you know, Falcons had so many needs. You might as well start with the most glaring one. And because of how many guys you lost, how many big guys you lost, you know, wide receivers the last couple of years, big names, you got to do what you got to do. So I wish them well. Hope they do well, you know. It's always better, any city that you live in, I don't care where you live in America, if you're in a big city, it's always better if the NFL team is winning. I don't care what your baseball team does, your NBA team, hockey team, if the NFL team is winning, there's a different atmosphere in that city. It's just amazing. Yeah. It just really is. It just really is. So, anyway, fellas, it was good chatting with you. I enjoyed my time. I got nothing else for you, but I'm willing to talk to you anytime you want. So you call me anytime.
Man, we appreciate that so much, Jerome. And I'm hoping that everybody who listened or watched definitely appreciated you too. You have a nice rest of the evening and a great weekend too, sir. Okay.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you so much, Jerome.
And that, folks, was a great interview with Mr. Jerome Jerinovich. Hopefully you appreciated everything he had to say, the stories that he came to us with, which I didn't know we were going to have stories tonight, but hey, I'm not going to say no to a good story. And just appreciate his history over time. And one of the reasons I was going to ask him in regards to, you know, starting in broadcasting of any kind, whether it be television or radio or whatever, to say how to get there. That's why I kind of got tongue-tied, because I was still getting over his story. And just the bits and pieces and knowledge that he brought to the table, hopefully you definitely will appreciate that. But that's the beauty of YouTube, that, hey, this is going to always be around for people to watch for years and years to come. So definitely, you know, appreciate Jerome for being on the show. And he got excited for the fact that he knew he was the first interview of 2022. So I'm just trying to tell you, you know, hey, guess what? Here, the controversy part, George. People do enjoy coming to Around the ATL. Hidden joke. 646-652-4479. We are actually on the air for another hour, I believe. We're going to stay on for another hour. So we're going to take a little bit of a break and kind of get things together to talk about this draft that is still ongoing. I believe we're on pick 40 right now to see how the Seahawks.
That was incredible. The guy he suggested.
Wasn't that cool? Because I was eyeing it. I looked over at the TV, Joe. I was like, wait a minute. That ain't supposed to sound familiar. Wait a minute. We got that guy.
I just looked at it a few minutes before he said that, just trying to get an update on it. And I was like, okay, cool. We got an edge rusher. And lo and behold, it's the guy he wanted us to draft. I thought that was a cool moment.
So if he says that's the guy, that's a pretty good sign as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to go with Jerome on that one. So everybody, so 646-652-4479, if you want to go ahead and call in, we'll put you on hold and we'll start talking about the draft. We'll, of course, talk about the first round, which was yesterday. We'll talk about the ongoing second round right now. We have another pick that's coming up, or have we already passed it? I'm not sure. I can only do but so much at the same time, of course. I got the matrix going on in here, but we're going to take a little bit of a break, so let's see what we're going to do. We are going to play a little tune, and let's see if I can find which one's going to be. No, I'm not going to play competition. Let's see. We'll play a little daylight. So we'll come back, and we'll go over the first round, and we'll discuss, you know, whether or not it was our best interest pick or best player. We'll get into all of that, and then we'll catch up on the second round, and we'll go from there. So if you want to call into the show, let's go ahead and put the number up, 646-652-4479. But in the meantime, don't go anywhere. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Again, shout out to Jerome Jerinovich for being on the show. That was one of our best interviews, I would say, probably, I won't say ever, because we've had some top ones, but it's right up there now, you know, and definitely is the best one for 2022, obviously. He put that in there for himself. So we'll be right back on the show. Don't go anywhere. Peace. We'll be right back. Back. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and we are just finishing up a great interview with the great Jerome Jerinovich, 40 years in the broadcast business, 15 with the Braves Live and Hawks Live broadcast. That, again, he brought it every night to get us hyped for that game. You know, whatever the circumstances were, we wanted to know what the story was for that night and ongoing. So he did a great job of that, and definitely appreciate his stories from this evening. It's always good to get knowledge from somebody who has experience in the business. And, you know, it's just cool to hear those stories. So hopefully those who did get to watch and will watch in the future or listen will definitely appreciate that. And he did say he'll come back again. So we'll definitely look down the road of having him on the show. Maybe he can convince somebody. I've been trying to get on the show for a long time to come on to the show, but I don't want to start any controversy right now, so I'll go ahead and get into the next thing. Jordan, you know who I'm talking about. 646-652-4479 is the number.
He did mention David Archer. Probably be a good guy to talk to as well, because old Arch, he knows his football stuff. And, you know, from being a quarterback to the Falcons to now being an analyst with 92.9 The Game, I'm sure that was a good time, you know, getting a chance to sit and watch a game with Arch.
Yeah.
But I just want to thank Jerome Jerinovich so much, man. You know, great stories. Like you said, wouldn't anticipate getting those bonus stories, but, man, they were great. I could really listen to those guys that have that experience, you know, in sports, and especially in Atlanta sports, tell those type of stories all day long, to be honest with you.
Yep. 646-652-4479 is the number. I was trying to get that out earlier. Got a little tongue-tied. So, the Atlanta Falcons. So, right now, the second round is ongoing. And we know that they have gotten a edge rusher for sure. Now, I believe our next pick is, what, 50, 58 or so? I know we do have one Georgia Bulldog that's out there still that we can maybe get. We all won't be lost. Dean is just on the board.
There's still a few out there. But, yeah, one of the main ones is still out there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And it looks like the Vikings pick is in, and they're having to tell the guy on the stage to actually read the card. That's terrible right there. Never seen that happen before. You actually had somebody, producer. I don't know what they said. It looks like it was funny. So I have to watch the – oh, my goodness. He just hit the podium? I don't know what's going on here, but I guess he got mad, hit the podium, and now he's shouting. I don't know what's going on here, Jordan. This is kind of strange, but that was kind of scary there. Andrew Booth, so they didn't pick Dean. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the Falcons will have to move up to get him to make sure they get him, because 58 is a good ways away from 42. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, still 15 picks away, because it's down to pick number 43 right now on the Giants. But as you said, we did get an edge rusher, so that's something that's definitely good, a good thing, something that brings hope. The fact that they are actually trying to address the pass rush.
Well, that being said, when you get a chance, pull up his name so we can make sure you pronounce it correct, because I'm going to go ahead and...
I have the name pulled up. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly now, but I give it a try. It's Arnold Ebiketie. 6'3", 253-pound defensive end, outside linebacker. Out of Penn State University, spent his first three college years at Temple, where he had six sacks total in his first 3 years. Had his breakout year last year at the transfer to Penn State. 9.5 sacks, 18 tackles for a loss for the Nittany Lions last year in the Big Ten. So definitely promising, you know, to see a guy that's not only an edge rusher, but a productive edge rusher being drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. Let me just give you a couple of notes on him here. And I'll pull up my trusted notepad. Says he catches, he has long arms and is a master of preventing offensive tackles from locking onto his pads as he advances the pass rush. He knows how to attack linemen and counters do that when he doesn't win a mission. He has some issues anchoring when teams run at him, but he is relentless at the point of attack. And that's from Steve Munich. And according to draft scout Matt Miller, he says, Ebiketie will provide a much-needed boost to the Falcons' edge rush game and should factor into the rotation of defensive end very early in his career. He has an ideal skill set to fill an outside linebacker role in DP's 3-4 scheme. So I like that pick. I do.
Well, you see, I got him up. I got him up on the screen so everybody can see it real quick. I'm quick like that, you know. So that's our first pick of the second round, and we'll definitely be able to delve into that player a lot more over the next couple of weeks. And we do have a show that's coming up, y'all. It's going to be the review show of the 2022 NFL Draft, so be looking out for that. 646-652-4479 if you want to talk about that pick. But definitely let's kind of delve into a little bit on the subject matter from day one of the draft in regards to, you know, needs analysis, and even you know, Jerome mentioned it a little bit in regards to the needs of having a receiver, but and I do agree with that. However, at the same time, our immediate need, our desperate need, our need of not having one player have as many sacks as our whole team kind of is there too, you know. And yes, the draft is not a guarantee. Nothing ever goes as you expect it sometimes. But it does tend where you do get that pillar in the higher rounds that they do tend to be pretty spectacular at the same time. But again, that's based off the player themselves wanting to do it and then also coaching getting them to that point. So a lot of things do have to go right. And I just feel that at that number 8 pick, it would have been apropos to pick one of those guys that was there still, or even use that pick and use another pick and maybe move up a little bit even if you had to get the best player available. And I just don't know in this particular case. And again, he's a great player, but even if we're going the best player available, I don't know if he was the best wide receiver as opposed to the couple of wide receivers that went after him even. I mean, if we're just going by what's on paper and production-wise, you did have one player who had 35 touchdowns total. You had another one who had 23 touchdowns total. And 15 touchdowns, or was it 12 or 13 touchdowns is less than those two figures. So I'm just going by that. But Jordan, our number 8 pick who we did draft, go ahead and give us a little bit of breakdown on him and his name and everything.
But I get to pull up. Before I go there, I just want to real quick, because a lot of people, you know, they get on me if I don't like the way something happens, and they call me negative. So let me be positive for a second first, okay? Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, okay, Devontae Wyatt, Lewis C., Quay Walker. That's 5 Georgia Bulldog defenders drafted in the first round. Never before has 5 defensive players on the same team be drafted in the first round. And on top of that, 2 of those guys went to the Green Bay Packers, who also took Georgia corner Eric Stokes last year. So apparently somebody in Green Bay knows what to do with them. But I just want to congratulate all 5 of them as young men, and I just think it was a great night to be a Georgia Bulldogs fan, and you got to be so happy to see all of that, all of those Georgia Bulldogs won in the first round, making all their, you know, dreams come true the way that that took place. So love that. As far as Drake London at number 8, it's to me, it's not a matter of whether Drake can play or not. You know, he may be the best receiver out of this draft. Some people had him as that. Some people had him as number 2. Some people had him as number 3. that he better be the best receiver out of this draft when it's all said and done. Particularly, he's got to be better than the Ohio State wide receiver, Chris Olave, I think is how you say his last name, because he was drafted by the rival teams. So you cannot let your rival take a wide receiver if you picked out the you take one, and then that guy turned out to be better. You are looking at a disaster if that happens. And so that cannot happen. One of my concerns with Drake London also was the fact that he broke his ankle last season. So a lot like Julio Jones, who came in with a fracture, he has a fracture coming in. And as we know, Julio ended up having to get the titanium turbo foot. That's what I call it, but it was really just a titanium screw inserted in his foot, and it was a problem for him up and on, to the point where he missed out a lot of his career. So hopefully that won't be the case with Drake London. But Drake London is 6'5", around 210, 215 pounds. So he's a big wide receiver. Caught 88 passes for 1,084 yards and 7 touchdowns last season. That was in 8 games, as we mentioned, because he had the injury that caused him to miss the rest of last season. Obviously, the Pac-12 played a short schedule in 2020 where he only played 6 games. Caught 33 balls for 502 yards, 3 touchdowns. And the season before that, his freshman year, he played 8 games, caught 39 balls for 567 yards and 5 touchdowns. So, when you really look at it, it's really not a lot of experience for a guy who spent 3 years in college. You're looking at only a total of 24 games, in a college career, which is really equivalent to about 2 seasons as opposed to 3. Obviously, he can't control what happened with the COVID situation. Let me just pull up what some of the scouts have said about him here. So, of course, now we got internet issues with the live program. But as that's pulling up, I will just say this. I don't think it's about that kid being a bad pick. For me, and like, Mr. Jerome said, wide receiver is definitely a need, but we have a lot of positions that were a big need. And as I talked about in our last show, just watching games and seeing the other team just noticeably be more physical. I mean, to the point where it just pops off the screen at you how much more physical the other team is. And that's something that I felt like, we need to prioritize. And, the very next edge rusher, Jermaine Johnson, he slid down to number, 26. Just traded back up to get him. So maybe he wasn't the guy to take his number 8. But as opposed to taking Drake London there, what I would have done, I would have taken the guy from the ninth, Charles Cross, the offensive tackle out of Mississippi State. Charles Cross played in Mike Leach's air raid offense, which threw the football every time, and he only allowed 2 sacks the entire season. I mean, I'm talking about they still play football every down.
Yeah.
And he only allowed 2 sacks. And so, I said it on my draft preview show, I feel like he's the best pass blocking tackle in the entire draft. So as many times as Matt Ryan has been in over the last few years, I kind of have a hard time understanding how you pass on the best pass blocking tackle in the entire draft. And so, like I said, Mr. Drake London is here. I'm going to root for him. I'm going to support him. I don't necessarily think that he's a bad pick. I just think that we should have went in another direction because, ultimately you need to build your football team from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. And the last regime built their team for a lot of skill position type players. And even though we have success, we really should have a school, we don't have it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going in a different direction, Chris. Real quick, a couple of notes on Drake London, according to some of the scouts here. Matt Miller says that Drake London is an elite red zone target, a former basketball stat out. He made a Mojito comment in USB. In fact, he was now the main contested catches thanks to his ability to box out and contort his body while adjusting in the air. He's getting out of race and excels at finding pockets in zone looks. London breaks tackles and flashes quick feet after the catch. And the NFL comparison here, the more than Henry Rollins there. Even more analysis says that it could be that A.J. Brown and Arthur Smith's movement is not that, that he has moved to the house. He was dominated on slant routes, also the quarterback Marcus Mariota,
So I agree, it's not in regards to anything negative to London. It's just a matter of we're just going by what our general manager said earlier in regards to the best player available, because that's kind of what they did last year, supposedly, right? So that was, if we're going by that, it was just a matter of best available player, but also could fit a need that we definitely have. And we have Mel Kiper on ESPN said we have a billion needs, you know, and we do. There is a wealth of wide receivers in this draft. Several, I think, a few wide receivers have been picked since we've been on the air as well. You know, who have all the intangibles that you would need. They can, they're big, they're tall, they got length, they can get separation, they can do all those things, and with some coaching, you know, you the sky's the limit. Again, Davante Adams wasn't a top round draft pick either, was it? No. You know, there's so many examples in the Jerome just mentioned Hines Ward, Antonio Brown, sixth round. can you imagine? You know, so the talent is there, but for us, we have some needs to where we got to be able to stop some people, and we need to be able to protect people, and we need to be able to run the ball. So I don't think we would have been at all wrong in addressing some of those needs at that point. Because, again, it does affect everything else that you do after the fact, too, for the next couple of days. You know, again, it's that domino effect. And as the first part of the draft kind of started taking shape, it was a matter of, okay, well, where do you go? What adjustments are you going to make as we get closer and closer to number eight? You know, so we're going to see. Like you said, it's definitely one of those situations where there is a little bit of pressure, you know, in regards to Mr. London doing well, and I'm sure he's going to do well. But my other concern is it's a matter of, at this point in time, who's throwing him the ball, too. If Matt was still here, then I wouldn't be saying nothing at all, right? If Matt was still here, but Matt is not here, you know, in this particular case. And again, the guy that we got is a placeholder by default, but he was a backup for a reason. You know, in the last couple of years, and it was his two previous seasons to that. You know, so I have a question mark on who's getting Drake the ball enough for him to be, you know, valuable to us. And then going into next year as well, whoever we end up drafting is not going to necessarily start next year either. So I would hate for Drake to not get full utilization, because I'm afraid in regards to Pitts as well, and even CP being here. So a lot of stuff has to go right. Guess what? We need to be able to pass protect to give Marcus enough time to get it to these guys still, right? And we still got to be able to offset that with some kind of running game, which, guess what? That goes back into blocking, because we weren't great at that last year. We just were not. So, again, a lot of other holes have to be filled. And, again, I just – the best player, I don't know, for this particular situation, we need to go wide receiver. And another thing that you mentioned, Jordan, the injury history part of it. We went through a lot with players who are wide receivers missing games for one reason or another last few years. I don't want to go through that no more. I know some things you can't control, but in this case, you kind of did, you know. So I'm just, I don't know. We're going to see. And again, it's not that we're saying anything bad about Drake London as far as him being a player. It's just a matter of, was he the right player at this point in time at that pick at number eight? You know, we might be able to get him a little bit later still, possibly, if it was that matter. You saw where the other players went, right? So, again, it's just one of those deals where we're going to find out sooner or later, probably sooner, how this is going to pan out. But, yeah, it was a surprise. Let's just put it to like that, for sure. 646-652-4479, your next point, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, that was a run on wide receivers after we took the first one off the board. So we may not have been able to get him later. The thing about it is, though, I thought it was interesting that Terry Fontenot said that he did receive calls of people that wanted to trade up, but he never even seriously entertained trading back a few picks. And like you said, even if Matt Ryan was still here, I would still have the same issue because we left the bad pass blocking tackle on the board. And, I mean, obviously he was worthy because he was picked the next pick by Seattle. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's my main issue more so about what Drake brings to the table himself. Now, me personally, if I'm going to take a wide receiver really high, I would like them to have that combination of size and speed, like a Julio had, like a Megatron Calvin Johnson had. Drake has the size part of it. But speed is not quite to that level. I mean, he ran like a 4.5, 4.40 in the past. Obviously, he wasn't able to run the 40 this year because he's recovering from that ankle injury. As opposed to Julio, for example, he ran a 4.39 on a fractured foot. You know what I mean? So there's a big speed discrepancy there. And I was trying to pull up the particular year, but this is the first time in many years that a team has taken pass catchers back-to-back in the top 10, top 8 in the Falcons case. Since the Cleveland Browns did it, where they picked Braylon Edwards, a wide receiver, and tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. in back-to-back years. It didn't quite work out so well for the Cleveland Browns. So definitely hoping it works out a little bit better for the Atlanta Falcons. Like I said, to me, it's not about can this kid play. It's not even about did we need a wide receiver, because we did. What it's about here is how do you build a football team? That's what it's about. And, you know, when I look back into history, almost every offensive lineman that the Falcons have drafted in the top 15 did pretty well. Jake Matthews was top 15 pick. Chris Lindstrom was pick number 14. Even when you go back to guys like Lincoln Kennedy and he didn't do as well here, but when you go back to some of the former offensive linemen that we've had, you know, throughout history, all the ones that were picked in the top 15 did pretty well. When you look at the ones that were picked outside of the top 15, oh, man, the results are not nearly as good. You're talking Sam Baker. You're talking Caleb McGarry. And there's a slew of guys that were taken in the later rounds that didn't pan out. The center from Wisconsin, Peter Kahns. Who was shortly out of the league after being let go by Atlanta. Guard from Alabama taking it around the third round. Mike Johnson, never turned out to be anything. I mean, there's so many names to name in that aspect. And so that's why I just think when you're building a football team almost from scratch, you need to start at the line of scrimmage. You better have somebody that can whoop that guy lined up across from them, whether it be an offensive lineman that can whoop a defensive lineman or a defensive lineman that can whoop an offensive lineman and get the other team's quarterback. Because, honestly, I don't care if you got Randy Moss, head wide receiver, Jerry Rice, that's your other receiver, and Joe Montana throwing him the football. If you cannot protect your quarterback, you cannot run the football, and you cannot sack the other team's quarterback, you're not going to win big, sir. You're not going to go platinum like that.
One thing I will say, too, and Jerome mentioned this in regards to like a team like the Steelers, in regards to an organization and being run, one of the reasons why is that they do it. And here, I guess the terminology is doing it the right way. It's not so much doing it the right way. It's the way that works. So why would you want to go away from building the team in a way that works, that has sustainability, and you're winning every year? Because that's the point, right, is that you're winning. We're in a midst right now where we haven't had a winning record in the last 4 years, and we should have been more competitive, and we know that and everything. We know all the circumstances with the Falcons and everything. But how many more losing seasons can be endured at a certain point, right? And if you're not going to finally say, okay, and this is what the whole point of having this new regime, I was hoping and still hoping to get it right, to say, let's do it right now, because we didn't do right by our former quarterback. We didn't. And they know it. So why would you continue to go the opposite? because eventually you're going to have a new quarterback, and if you still can't protect him, whoever that's going to be, and you still don't have a running game to offset things like other teams can, what are we even really doing? You see what I'm saying? Because that's backwards, and we're not going to win like that. Again, like you threw out some great names, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. It won't matter if you got those guys if your quarterback is on the ground looking at the top of Mercedes-Benz. That ain't cool. It just isn't cool at a certain point. So the eventuality is, do we fill those holes this year? You know, and again, remember we had our show the other night, our draft show, and we talked about the few free agents that we had to kind of fill in some blanks and a little bit of needs there, you know, a little bit on the defensive side, right? But nothing really on the trenches side, right? And so we're really depending on this draft to do that a lot. Unless you're going to get a whole bunch of undrafted free agents and hope for the best, you're rolling the dice at that point, you know. But, yeah, exactly. So, and also, of course, don't forget this, a second year of coaching the team that we do have up. Now, that does go into play a little bit. And whether or not you have players that can get better and the players that want to get better to say, hey, we need to do our jobs. Because whoever the next quarterback of the future is coming in, it's on us for real now. We, again, at the end of the day, you failed Matt. All right? It is what it is. Matt's gone. You know? So are you going to do it again? Because this is your career now. Like, seriously, like, you got to – it has to be that in their mindset to say, I didn't do as good as I should have. Can I improve? Do I want to improve? And then it's up to management and the coaching staff to say, are you going to settle if they can't? You see what I'm saying? You can't just let things just keep going the way they were. We are on number 48 just picked. Jaquan Brisker going to the Bears. So Dean is still out there. 646-652-4479. Who will be the Falcons' next pick in the NFL draft this year? We're going to find out in a few more picks. We'll probably go over some of these guys who've been kind of going by the wayside. Alabama just had another guy drafted, obviously. You know, they were a good team last year. Jordan, any other points as we continue watching the ticker here to see who we get next in the draft?
My other point is that if you didn't want to take Charles Cross for whatever reason, I don't know why you wouldn't want to take him. I think the only knock on him was he played in such a pass every offense, teams didn't really get a chance to beat his run blocking a lot, but he was a good run blocker when he first got there coming out of high school. The fact is that he wasn't even recruited to play in that air raid scheme. They changed coaches. He was put into a pass every scheme like that. But if you didn't want to take him, the other guy who I would have taken was the man who went 13th, Mr. Jordan Davis, the mammoth behemoth defensive tackle. Because as I stated on last week's show, and I'll state it again, you take him and you put him in the middle of your defensive line, you're not going to have to worry about teams running the football on you anymore. You know what I mean? So that, and it frees up, you know, your edge guys to turn loose, because when a team can't run, eventually they're going to stop running and they're going to start just throwing the ball. And so it helps your pass rushers. And so that's where I would have went, London. But like I said, you know, hopefully Drake London works out for us. And the other point with that is, had you taken Charles Cross or Jordan Davis, you still would have had John Michie, who just went at 44, available as a wide receiver.
I mentioned him the other night, too.
Right. You still would have had Waddell Robinson, who I mentioned out of Kentucky the other night as a playmaker. That was the smaller, the 5'8 receiver with blazing speed, you know, that does a lot of the slot stuff. And you still had a chance to pick George Pickens, who was still on the pitch.
He's still there.
So I think you could have gotten more value had you taken either Cross or Jordan Davis and then turned around and went receiver with this second round, with, you know, one of these second round drafts. Like I said, we're coming up at 58. What I would like to see here is an offensive line. The guy I mentioned, Lucas out of Washington State, the powerful pass blocking right tackle. I mean, run blocking and pass blocking. Powerful right tackle. That's who I would like to see taken with this pick. Yeah, that's what I want to see, or some good offensive lineman, because I get a little worried about, you know, bringing in offensive linemen after the second round, thinking that they may possibly start. I mean, we saw what a third round starter looked like last year. That was
Yeah. Amazing. See, and you just saying that made me kind of change my mind a little bit more, because at the end of the day, I'm like, this is probably our last chance to actually get a UGA guy at this point, because all the rest of them have been drafted, obviously, and trying to see if we can pull Dean, because again, we do have a.
It's gonna be hard not to.
I don't know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's there. He does fill the void that we have, and he's one of the. He is one of the best, no matter what. I don't care. He's in the second round right now, but if we get him, he's going to be one of the steals of the draft by far. Okay.
Yeah.
And
he's
still
get a guy with a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly.
You know, he's pissed off watching all his teammates, who he was pretty much the leader of, go before him. Now, obviously, after one of those guys, he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. So I wouldn't be mad if that were a pick at all. But if not, certainly I'd like to see an offensive lineman. There are still a couple other Georgia guys left. Jabari Sawyer, for example, is out there.
I mentioned him last night, the other night, too.
Right, and you got both of the Georgia running backs, Zamir White,
Cook.
As well as James Cook, still on the board. So there are still some chances to get some UGA players out there, and I still want to see. I want to see at least two, at least one.
Well, right now, we're, I don't know. We're going to get half of one at this point. I don't know. It ain't looking good, man.
I think the Georgia punter I like also, though. I think the Georgia punter would be better than the punters we had. So if he's one that's, you know, the sixth or seventh round, I wouldn't be mad at that either.
Punter is a definitely an important position on the special team side of the ball. It can turn you a game, you know. Getting somebody to return the ball wouldn't be a bad thing eventually. I don't know if we still have that person or not, but, you know, that's another story. But, you know, I really want to see us try to see if we can pull off getting Dean, because it does fill an immediate need. It put, especially with the defensive lineman he did get. So those two players right there, I would say, could be starters, you know, and that'll be great right there. So because think about it. If you are able to get Dean, you technically, in your first three picks, have three starters, possibly, right? I don't see some of those receivers that I read the names of the other day beating out London. Not all of them. I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? You pick them at ace. You're not going to start that guy? That would be crazy. I don't know. Crazier things have happened, though, I guess, right? So, again, it's about filling in these holes that are immediate and then finding out whether or not the coaching staff can do what they're supposed to do. Because think about it. If we're able to get Dean in with Pease being here, can you imagine? Like I said, you know, I think that would be a great start going forward to get us regulated. Because remember, we did win two more games than the year before. And that's all I'm looking at is that progression as well. I don't want us to go backwards. Like I don't think we're not ready for a two-win season right now. We just can't do that, you know. And whether or not we do draft a quarterback or not before the end of this draft, again, right now it's not. The experts out here are basically kind of proving that this was not the draft for a quarterback, right? So I've been saying it from the get-go, and this was before Matt was gone. That we didn't need to do that. We didn't need to do that this year. Next year, all in. You know, whatever we got to do. But I don't think we need to take a pick and put it into a quarterback that at the end of the day, again, it's a hodgepodge. You know, so we got too many other holes to fill. And, you know, hopefully Marcus can be adequate fill-in, stopgap, whatnot. You know, and maybe this will be his coming out party. You know, he's back. I don't know. We'll find out. We get that version. You just never know. I mean, we might win 10 games. I'm being positive right now. I'm trying to, man. I'm trying. But anyway, 646-652-4479. Thanks for all that. Stephen Patrick said, great show as always. So it looks like he was able to dip in a little bit. Because we know the draft is going on right now, and the Braves are playing. I don't even know what the score is. Let's find out what the score is real quick, I guess. But, again, we were focused on having our great interview with the magnificent, I'll throw that out there, Jerome Durinovich. Because think about it, 40 years in broadcasting is no, you know, that's not easy to do. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot. And think about it. He mentioned the schedule as far as, like, going to the Braves game and things of that nature. That's literal. Like, you have to be there. You're fighting traffic and things of that nature to be there at the park basically 3 hours before the ballpark even really opens up to the public, and you're getting all your stuff together and things of that nature. And then you're on the air, and then depending on when that game ends, you know, you might not be getting home literally until, you know, for him might be 12, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning possibly. I guess that for me, I sometimes didn't get home till 3 a.m., you know, and then have to get up and kind of do it all over again. And you're talking about homestand, you're talking about eight, nine days in a row doing that. So for him to do that for such a long time, for him to be able to appreciate taking a nap in the middle of the day, that was really cool to hear. I'm just saying, because, you know, naps are cool. I'm just saying, you know. But yeah, Jerome was great. So that was what we were focused on for tonight. But now that we're draft central right now, you know, we definitely want to kind of pick apart, you know, a little bit more from, you know, last night, obviously, and what we're going to do tomorrow even as well. Let's see, where are we at? 50.
Pistol Pete ATL on Twitter says, would they ever let Danny Ainge be GM of the Lakers? Could Mike Tomlin ever coach the Ravens? I'm going to have to filter this because there's some language I can't use on the back of the show here. Why would the blank Falcons pick up this op, Terry Fontenot from the Saints? Good question.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I mean, it does sound kind of suspicious. I'm just saying, it just at the moment that it happened, it was a tough pill to swallow with all the needs that we knew we had, with the situation of not having Matt here anymore and knowing all the holes that needed to be filled. There were literally dozens of wide receivers. I'm just going to say it. So, and if you're going to get a wide receiver, again, for me, I would have said, let's get the best one then. The best one per everything. All again, I'm going to just say it. And if Linda never chooses to be on around the ATL, criticism is part of the game when you sign a contract. You put yourself out there to be drafted. It's just a matter of circumstances. Me and myself and Jordan have nothing against Drake London at all. Believe me, we don't. It's just a matter of it just didn't make complete sense for where we need. We actually had the number 8 pick. If we had a lower pick, I wouldn't, you know, it is what it is. But at 8, and who was still there, like I said, Jordan Davis was still actually there. You know what I'm saying? And certain other people, and maybe it would have been a reach for Jermaine Johnson? Maybe it would have been a reach, but I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
Because, you know, again, sometimes people fall because the needs of the team just doesn't map out. Again, think about how the draft started. You see what I'm saying? And, again, once your number one pick went to Jags, who Mel Kiper hated that pick, you could tell. They were all on Aiden Hutchinson being number one. You could just see your shoulders were down and stuff. I could just see it. You know, they had all kind of stuff planned for that pick, obviously. And so when, you know, your UGA come in there and say, we're taking over, yeah, you know, you could tell. I was like, y'all are kind of dismissive on, but that's okay, though. All right, whatever. But once that did happen, it kind of set up how everything else was going. And, again, at number 8, I think we should have went defense. Again, we need defense. We need to stop people. We weren't stopping people no way, no how last year, like we needed to. And there was bits and pieces where we did improve, but the places where we weren't improved then, this is the draft of doing it. It was loaded for us to do it. The national champions were making it loaded for us to be able to do this. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. We're gonna find out. 646-652-4479. I'm trying to get myself together for this next pick because it's coming up. We're number 58. The Patriots pick is in the number 51, so we're going to see who they get. And we're still waiting for the guy to come out there. So.
Yeah, we're getting close. Like I said, Abraham Lucas out of Washington State is a guy I like. Jabari Sawyer is a guy who I wouldn't mind seeing us take one of his next few picks. Another guy who I wouldn't mind seeing us take with his next pick if he hadn't come off the board yet. is another USC Trojan, Drake Jackson, the edge rusher. Somebody said, well, you just took an edge rusher. Take another one.
Do you ever have enough?
Especially the fact that we don't really have any that's established as far as with a track record of getting to the quarterback. And so if you take two, that just gives you
the odds are for you in that case, per what happened last year.
Because I just think that's one of those positions that you need to continue to address until, you know, you get it right, you know, because, you know, it's hard to win without that. I mean, as good as Matthew Stafford is, and Cooper Kupp is, if they didn't have Aaron Donald, that team does not win the Super Bowl.
No, it's not even a question mark, you know, you can't contest that. Mentioned that maybe we won't want to do another Alabama pick of any kind for history and whatnot, but Jameson torched the UGA Bulldogs. He destroyed them, and we couldn't stop him. That kind of be a person you would want on your team when you know you're up against the best defense of all doggone time almost.
Boy, that's just going to go there. That might be the best defense of all time. And, I mean, we're seeing the guys get drafted to prove it.
And you didn't want to get him as a wide receiver. You know, yes, he – now, I know that kind of be hypocritical with Chris. You said you didn't want to get anybody with a, you know, injury history and everything like that. But, again, this guy was really good, though. Like, really, 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 really good. Like,
in the SEC, too.
Yeah.
And
he does everything you need. He'll get you the separation, and he'll get you breakaway speed, too. So if you get him that slant every now and again, you know, or, heck, wide open. You know, over the top, you know, either or. But, again, though, that means you got to have protection. It goes hand in hand for those type of plays at least. So, again, all these things are just we want to see how it plays out, but we just want to see the best team fielded each year. And we want to see the best moves. We want to see the best decisions. And that just hasn't been happening for the Falcons over a period of time. And that's what's been disappointing. We just want to see the team compete. I've said this about the Hawks. I don't care if the Hawks go 0-82 each season. If they're playing to their hilt, playing to their best of their abilities and playing with full effort for 48 minutes and they still get beat doing that, then the other team was just better, and I got to accept that. But what I don't want to accept is you're not really trying that hard, and it's obvious. You know, you're just out there going through the motions. And you're not even trying to improve from a year-to-year basis, so that means you're getting terrible, which means why are you out there? Because now you're just getting somebody hurt, like Matt Ryan. 646-652-4479, just saying, that's just how it is. John Kaminsky, what are we going to do with him? Because I read his name off. Let's see if he's still on the roster. Because
I think he is.
What are we doing with him? Because this is his third year, isn't it?
It is.
Coming up?
But that's the reason why I like to spend, you know, early picks on guys that can go to the quarterback, because it just seems like time and time again, when you wait till the later rounds, you know, they just don't pan out. Tyler Starr, Cliff Matthews, Fred Shimbo. I mean, the names are just a list of just long of guys that have been taken in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round, and that just didn't never really do anything at the NFL level. And, I mean, yeah, you can find sleepers in later rounds, but it's a lot harder at pass rush position. It's harder than offensive tackle. You may be able to find guards. We sure did last year. But you may be able to find guards at the offensive tackle position. It's a lot harder as opposed to, like, a wide receiver like Jerome mentioned, as well as running back, where you can find a lot of guys late round. But as far as who's going to get all those guys involved, let's see.
What was that?
I don't know if you can hear that. I was doing quarterback there.
Oh, my goodness.
Like a part of the season. Say this thing.
Oh, wow. That's too much.
But, I think you're doing the right thing with not taking a quarterback yet. Because we just need to fill those other positions. And I just want whoever the next quarterback is not to get killed, whatever he is, put in there. And so until we show him the offensive line, I would feel comfortable with a rookie franchise-type quarterback in there. If I'm going to put a young quarterback in there now, it's going to be Felipe Franks or somebody who I haven't invested a lot into. Because otherwise, I guess I've just seen quarterbacks put in the past, where so they take so many sacks over the first couple of years, and they begin to see, it's just like, somebody's coming, and really nobody's coming. They play that way. So remember
RG3. You know, he had that one season, and then after that, and you see, you know, the current situation over in Baltimore. You know, you got to be on the field at a certain point. And if you making choices where you're not going to protect your guy, and he's keep getting hit or injured because of one thing or another, that doesn't do you no good. The Baltimore Ravens probably should have done some stuff last year, but they couldn't because their main guy was not there. You know, and eventually that catches up to you over a period of time. You know, longevity goes a long way in the NFL. You know, now how the rules are, quarterbacks can play longer than they've ever been able to play before, right? But that's only because they got a team around them to say, you're not going to get hit, sir. That's our job, not to let you get hit. You're not going to be on the ground, no matter what. And they take pride in that.
And if you try any funny business after the whistle or whatever, we're going to fight you.
Yeah. You know, we don't care about no fines. We don't care about no stinking fines. Fine, me, you know. So that's an attitude that we really haven't had or have prevalent on our teams the last few years. And it's obvious. You know what I'm saying? So, again, that's the thing that kind of worries me a little bit is, you know, where is the essence of, again, we've been saying it for the last couple of days, building from the trenches, building from within, strengthening that line on both sides of the ball. Because if you can do that, you're competing now. That's what Kansas City Chiefs have done for a long time. They were a good team before. Mahomes got there. The Pittsburgh Steelers obviously been good for a long time.
And George Pickens was just drafted, speaking of Pittsburgh Steelers, by the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 20 in the second round, pick 52. So George Pickens did come.
They got Pickett and Pickens. So that's going to be a nice little t-shirt eventually, right? that's pretty cool. So congratulations. Another UGA Bulldog. Uh-oh, I got to play it. Let's make it happen. I ain't going to change over now. So, again, the whole UGA Bulldog team is getting drafted, y'all. You might as well get used to it. Don't be a hater. You know, just participate, you know. Be happy for this team, you know. It's going to be interesting how the UGA Bulldogs do this year, but I'm pretty sure they're going to still be high up there, so we'll see what happens. 646-652-4479. I can't believe I forgot the number earlier tonight. We're almost there. Pick 53. Colts are on the – oh, actually 54. The Super Bowl champion Indianapolis Colts are on the clock. Lord. So we'll see what they end up doing to help that team, who's already loaded right now. Like, that team's definitely in contention phase now. by default of just getting Matt there. You know, he's by far a lot better than Carson Wentz, and nobody can contest that, right? And they have weapons all across the board. They got the offensive line. They got the running game, which is superb. They got a defense. They got wide receivers galore. They just picked up another wide receiver, Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. So Matt has all kinds of people to throw to. So they're definitely, you know, going to be doing some things there. So we're almost to that pick to see if Dean maybe shows up on the Atlanta roster somehow. I don't know.
That's amazing to me that this man is still on the board.
Ain't it crazy? I'm just.
Height doesn't matter. Sometimes 40 times shouldn't matter. When a guy is just a good football player, he's just a good football player. But whoever gets this man is going to get somebody with a chip on their shoulder. He's going to come in ready to prove that he should have been the first linebacker taken. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be the opponent playing against N'Kobe Dean. Maybe he'll last, so I pick and we'll take him.
There's always that part of, you know, the combine and these numbers and things of that nature. And they've done it for such a long time in regards to the equation of if this is how this player is going to be. And they're using that per histories and things of that nature. But like you said, sometimes a half an inch. Like, they're showing Alec Pierce and Jordy Nelson back-to-back, 6'3 and 1'8", and Jordy was 6'2 and 5'8". Jordy is 217 pounds. Alec Pierce is 211 pounds. 40 times, Alec Pierce is 4.41, Jordy Nelson 4.51. Is it that much different, you know what I'm saying, to say Alec Pierce is going to have a 12-year career or not? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's where it's like it's always kind of like mystery meat a little bit. And at the end of the day, you got to let this guy play and find out. But I think Dean passed the eye test, you know what I'm saying, beyond that, you know what I'm saying, because he was always where he's supposed to be, and he knows where everybody else is supposed to be too. And that right there, that's a gift, you know what I'm saying?
He's a smart kid, man, and when I say smart, he's not just football smart. Academically, he's smart as well. So, you know, and when you're talking about a guy who could just be the captain of a defense, the guy that can have the green sticker on his helmet, with which the defensive coordinator is talking through the mic. You want a guy that's very intelligent in that position, a guy that's able to process things quickly and react to it, and that's what N'Kobe Dean does. So,
yeah.
You know, no matter how far he slips in this draft, my thoughts have not shaken. This guy is going to be a very good football player. And so whoever picks him is going to have a good guy. Hopefully it's Atlanta here. Five more picks.
He's going to be a great team player, too, because he'd be also able to help people be accountable. Because he ain't trying to be with that mess of, okay, well, you know, I know I missed that tackle or whatever. I didn't do that block or whatever. No, not with him on the field. You see what I'm saying? That's something else that we need on this team. Really, we do. You know, because when you have a good player or a great player and he wants everybody else to be great, you do have a choice. You either going to step up or you might need to step out. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be very apparent when you're in practice. And then because if nothing changes, that means all the coaches that are watching it, they're complicit. Because he's going to call people out. He's going to be like, man, how come you didn't run from sideline to sideline like the rest of us are? Why are you doing this, sir? You know, he's going to be polite, I'm sure. But at a certain point, it's like he's outplaying everybody else. Why are you here? And at a certain point, it's like, well, why is he here? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, that's why we have some players that really, at the end of the day, probably should never have been on our roster, but they were just by default type of a deal. And we know we have a lot of players over the, you know, from the last regime that are kind of trying to phase all of them out or whatnot. But it's a matter of why were they here in the first place, though? Like Jerome mentioned earlier, you know, doing your due diligence and doing your study, you know. Again, the teams that do have the best talent also do tend to have the best scouts too, right? You know, they're making some real key decisions over years of time. That does play out. Again, it's like, how do you find this person in the sixth round? Digging.
With the exception of the Rams, which they still got good scouts too, but their GM, Les Snead, former Falcons assistant GM, he just trades all the picks away and goes against Pro Bowl talent to win the Super Bowl.
That's the other aspect of being able to do that, but you have to know when to pull those triggers and things of that nature. And we just, again, the five things you need to be successful as a franchise, no matter what the sport, you got to have an owner that wants to win, and allows the winning to happen, knows when to delegate, right? And spend the money, of course, obviously. Two, you got to have a general manager that makes wise decisions over a long period of time. It can't just be one and done. That one high draft pick that you did get doesn't circumvent all the other crap that you might have did, right? Number three, you have to have a good to great coach. You got to have they have to be good or great. They can't be below that, really, to be successful over a long period of time. You have to have good to great players. You have to have good to great players, and then you also have to have health. And over the last 10, 15 years, think about how many of those things the Falcons haven't had, right? And that's why where are we at? And that's why Matt Ryan ain't here no more. Just think about all those things. So now it's a matter of, okay, if you're going to reboot, let's do it properly. And again, all these other teams, they have these great offensive lines. Think about the young man, I call him young man, who just retired from the Rams and how long he played, but he played at an exceptional level, right? I can't remember the offensive lineman's name, big old dude, right? Was a man of the year.
Andrew Whitworth,
yeah. Why can't we do that? You know, a few times, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not expecting nobody to be playing for 15 years, but why not a good solid 10 at an exceptional level? You know what I'm saying? And mean about it, too. I'm going to put you on the ground. Boom, there you are. Where are you going, sir? You know, so that's – we need that. And because the one time that you did have a line that played the whole season together and had a mean spirit and all that kind of stuff, somebody won an MVP. We were in the Super Bowl, and we were a few plays away from winning a Super Bowl. The Falcons should be in three Super Bowls at least. At least. And we only made the one and then only made the playoffs one more time after that, and then we've seen what the debacle has been. And it ain't cool because all those things were preventable at the end of the day. You know, but again, coaching came into play. Sometimes coordinators, this is not the best. Is this not? It doesn't work out, especially if they can't adjust. They don't learn. They don't try to get better. You know, again, cliches are a good thing up to a point.
And the fact of the matter is, just because a guy is good at maybe X's and O's doesn't make him a leader of men. And sometimes I think that's what's missing when you talk about guys making the transition from a coordinator to actually being the CEO of the program, because that's basically what the head coach is as far as the on-field part.
Yep. 646-652-4479. We'll be wrapping up the show in a bit. I'm trying to stay on to see if we can get to pick 58. So,
the wide receiver out of Western Michigan went to the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 54. You got Trey McBride, the tight end out of Colorado State, went to the Cardinals at 55. So we just got the Cowboys and the Bills in front of us. So I don't know. We're cutting close all the time. I don't know if we're going to make it, but it's close.
We're going to see how much TV time they put out there over the next couple of minutes and see what happens. So, because I want to try to stay on the air as long as I can. We'll see what happens. If anything, I'll try to do a quick ending and we'll do a little overtime show. We hadn't done that in a long time, actually. So I'll try to time that out. But again, we just want to bet, again, around the ATL, we talk on the bias side up to a point because we are Atlanta sports fans. But at the same time, we're realistic too. And we want to see the teams be successful no matter what the sport. And it, with the Falcons, again, I'll say it like this. You see this placard in back of me? This has a date of 1980 on it. Okay? That's a long time ago, right? So when you're talking about being a fan of a team for a long period of time, again, you want to keep rooting for that team because it's going to be that one year they win it all, just like with the Braves in 95, right? And then you get to see them win it for a second time. And then, you know, you had a new franchise like Atlanta United, and they won a cup. You know, will they ever win another one? I don't know. But I'm going to be there when they do. The Falcons eventually are going to win a Super Bowl. Wish it had been with Matt, but it ain't going to happen. You know, maybe we'll give them a ring on the side. I don't know. I don't know. You can't do that, really, right? But I just want to see the team be successful, but I want to see them play at a hilt that competes with all the other teams in the league.
I'm so happy to see the Dogs win, man, because – I'll be honest with you, I was 3 years old in 1980. I do not remember their championship. You know, I was watching sports at a real young age, but I think I probably was still watching, you know, Mr. Wrestling number two and those guys at the age of three. So see those guys, man, and just to see the joy on the face of all the Bulldog fans. And I thought Mr. Drenovich brought up a great point, too, when it comes to the NFL team, that it really can affect the mood of the city. Because those days leading up to that Super Bowl, that last Super Bowl, man, everybody was so happy. I was in the corner from time to time during that time. There was trash talk going back and forth. I remember myself had a whole trash talking mess going on with somebody in full Patriots gear.
Hold up real quick. Mm-hmm. So usually in the second round, the commissioner doesn't do any of the picks. How come he out here for the Dallas Cowboys pick? What's up with that? What's going on, man? Anyway, continue with your thought. I just noticed him walk out there. I was like, maybe they're doing a replay of yesterday all of a sudden. I'm like, what's going on? But anyway.
Well, I remember there was a Patriots fan that had full gear on the water, and myself and a couple other Falcons fans trying to talk to the banter. The move was excitement and upbeat. The day after that Super Bowl, sir, you didn't hardly see any more jerseys and hats on like you did leading all up to it. And pretty much everybody on public transportation and motor station and stuff, nobody was talking to each other. Everybody just had their head down going, you know, to wherever they had to go. And like I said, Mr. Drenovich made a good point. It really does affect the mood of the entire city.
Yeah.
When, you know, there's a big thing going on with your NFL team. So definitely want to see this team get back on the right track, man, because it makes everybody – it makes it a happier place. It makes people less irritable. You probably see, you know, less crime even during those times.
Yeah.
So
people are paying attention. They're in the spotlight, so to speak.
All right, Dallas Cowboys just took a guy, Sam Williams. I know him, outside linebacker out of Ole Miss, edge rusher type guy. So we just got one more pick to go for the Falcons.
So what we're going to do. So this is what we're going to do, Jordan. I'm going to do a quick ending of the regular show. We're going to do a little overtime. I want to say thank you to everybody. We're going to come right back. Again, thank you to Jerome Drenovich for coming on to the show. That was such a great time for us to have one of the greats in Atlanta sports broadcasting on the show. And we'll never forget that particular interview for sure. Leading off 2022 the right way, even though we're starting a little late, but whatever. We did it and knocked it out. We're going to be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. This is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you follow on Instagram and the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. That helps us out so much over the next couple of weeks and months and years to come. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the newest Atlanta Falcon at pick 58 by the time we come back. Don't go anywhere and enjoy. I'm not going to do that. We are back. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. It is April 29th, 2022, and again, this is our last hour of the show, where the front of it was our great interview with Mr. Jerome Jurinovich, 40 years in sports broadcasting, the last 15 years with Atlanta Live and Braves Live. You remember watching him every game. Sometimes multiple times a day, broadcasting, talking about our Atlanta sports teams. And he has some great advice, some great stories, just real eloquent. But he's enjoying his retirement. He's not coming back. Sorry, Bobby D. But he's definitely appreciating his time off. And he definitely said he'll come back on the show again. So like I said, we're going to see if we can get him to bring a whole bunch of other people on with him too. What's up, Trey? But anyway, 646-652-4479 is the number. You missed that one, Jordan. You missed that one. Anyway.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm still bothered because right now, the Atlanta Falcons are officially off the clock.
Okay.
As we speak, Coach Keith from Central Michigan, the offensive tackle, was just thinking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But you have the Atlanta Falcons on the clock. Now, just like last year in the second round, you have a premium George Bulldog right there for the taking. Last year, the disease, I'm sorry, who ended up having 8.5 sacks as a rookie for the New York Giants. I don't know. I guess we couldn't use 8.5 sacks for whatever reason or another. So let's see if we can use the captain in the middle of the defense.
Jordan, real quick, to interrupt, you have a little bit of distortion there. So I want to make sure you know that because it's a little...
Might be because I have the little AC going on.
All right, there you go. That's a lot better.
Okay. So this year is the COVID-19. And so let's see if we can use a top tackler, great blitzer. I mean, DP's done a lot of blitz. You know what I mean? It's still his defense. If not, I hope it's an offensive lineman that's going to be a good player. If it's not one of those two things, or those pass rushes, it's going to be slightly disappointed, slightly to greatly disappointed in this pick, depending on who we pick. So looks like the pick is in. We should get the name real shortly.
Well, as we wait for you to make that announcement, I'll let you do it because my programming has changed and I don't have time to go and change it myself. The Minnesota-Memphis game is going to be coming on soon. So they switched over to the other ESPN. So, but
also, I want to mention Malik Willis is actually still on the clock as well. He's still on the board as well.
I bet he's disappointed, but I'm hoping that his agent, you know, kind of prepped him good enough where that could be a possible. Oh, no. Please, do we just need to end the show? I think we need to end the show.
The pick is in. It is Troy Anderson, inside linebacker out of Montana State. Okay, so they just took somebody at the Kobe Dean's position that's not the Kobe Dean. Inside linebacker Troy Anderson out of Montana State, 6'4", 243 pounds. Sideline run this defender with outstanding speed, who chases with good effort. He has initial quickness to shoot gaps in his run plays in the backfield, has the frame of speed to compete with tight ends in coverage. He is a good upside as a pass rusher in the closing speed, small quarterback. He plays quarterback, running back, and linebacker at Montana State. There again, don't want to, you know, say anything bad about the young man. He may end up being a very good player, but I just can't imagine that a player that plays the same position as the Kobe Dean is going to be a better football player than the Kobe Dean, sir. Your thoughts?
Just real quick, your distortion came back again. We heard everything you said, but it is distorted. Just to give you a heads up. I don't know what we're doing anymore now. I mean, I want to see how they come out with their trying to make this argument that they didn't need to get Dean. I want to hear exactly how they situated themselves to say Dean wasn't the better player. I just have to hear the explanation because I know it's not going to make any sense. It won't in this case. It can't. And then who? He's probably going to get picked next in the draft, inevitably, right? I mean, why? Because probably everybody else who hasn't picked him yet say, "Well, shoot, I thought the Falcons are in Georgia still, right?" I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted in this case. I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss for words.
The NFL draft prospects rankings or whatever, it has the guy that we took, Mr. Troy Anderson, rated as the 9th best inside linebacker. They had the Kobe Dean rated as the best. In fact, Channing Tindall, another Georgia Bulldog, is still on the board. The plays that interior linebacker spot was rated higher than Troy Anderson is playing. I mean, like I said, we got a way to see. There's no way I'm going to come over here and just straight up trash a kid and say that he's not going to be good when I don't have extensive knowledge of Montana State football. But I guess I just can't imagine taking a guy at Dean's position over Dean. Like I said, it'd be different if they would have went to an offensive tackle. You know, it would have been different if they would have went to another pass rusher in Drake Jackson or someone like that. But to take an interior linebacker and not be the Kobe Dean, I have to be honest with you, sir. I'm extremely disappointed.
I'm past disappointed. I'm angry. I'm just going to come out and say it. In this case, this makes no sense. And, again, you're talking about a team that had a legendary defense, and they all are getting drafted. And the one guy that still hadn't gotten drafted that was one of your best players on that team, you still almost basically on purpose did it. And everybody else is looking at this and is like, why do y'all hate UGA so much? Because this ain't the first time, obviously. And it's not just the principle of, oh, well, you want to just draft a player from UGA for the sake of drafting the player. No, these guys are good. Look at all the UGA players in the NFL that have helped their team over decades, and we can't draft one. In this case, you had the draft of drafts where you couldn't mess up by getting any of them, and we can't even draft one because at this point, who else are you going to draft now? Like, now if you draft one, is it going to be because, oh, well, you just want – but is there even anybody left? I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have that information. I was concentrating on the – say again?
Channing Crowder, you got Jamari Sawyer, you got both of the running backs. Jameer White and James Cook, you got the punter. So there are still a few Georgia players that are worth drafting. But I don't know. You know, maybe somebody can probably convince
me. I don't think we're going to – look, let's see, here's the deal. We've had all these players come through with 3 picks so far, and this is the one you had. You had it right there in your hands. I don't think we're going to get Cook. I don't think we're going to get Zeus. I don't think we're going to get that offensive lineman. We're not going to get any of these guys. We're going to get the exact opposite, and we're going to be the ones looking like mud on the faces. And just like the young man that you were mentioning that you had to bleep out what you were saying, it's like somebody's running ops on us right now. That's what it really does look like. Why are we sabotaging ourselves right now? This was a position that was going to fill an immense gap. Period. And we didn't do it still. You know, Jordan B out indefinitely, right orbital fracture and mild concussion.
Yeah, I just saw that too. I was just going to mention that as well, yeah. And, I don't really like that. Just the fact that is the next opponent for the Miami Heat. And so, you know, I really want to see these guys get challenged. You know, I don't like it. I really don't care who wins. But I just wanted to see what was going to happen when they had defense. One guy, you know, they couldn't just focus on one guy on defense, but like now they're gonna be geared up on James Harden and Maxey because I don't know when those Embiid is gonna play in this series. So that's kind of crazy.
I'm not saying Philly will get swept, but yeah, I don't know. 646-652-4479. As we get ready to kind of wrap up things,
and basically what it is like the old Scooby Doo. Thing where you got somebody with a mask on, but in this case it's Terry Fontenot, and then you have Fred from Scooby Doo taking his mask off, and it's actually Thomas Dimitrov. I posted it twice already. I'm about to post it again, just to let you know, because Montana State. Now tell me that still sounds like.
Just think on being level-headed about it. The competition that Dean has played and established himself as a top linebacker and one of the best linebackers in the draft, even though he's fallen, but that's his whatever you want to call it, but he's still the best rated that's still available, and you pick somebody who's the ninth best from a school that, let's just be honest about it, wasn't facing in the competition that the UGA Bulldogs have been. That's not contestable. So how do you legitimize saying, okay, like, how are you going to say, oh, well, it'd be a reach to pick Dean in the draft? It'd be a reach, because that's what they're saying. And this other guy is a sure thing. That's what they're saying. And I just don't know how you can make that argument, and it's really upsetting to me right now. And it's not just because you want to see a UGA guy get picked and drafted by the home team. This was one of the better players, and he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He knows what to do and when to do it. Like, he has all those intangibles to be the next great linebacker in the NFL in history, and we're going to let him go to whoever. That just don't sit well. And again, look what's going to happen. When it gets to December, and basically, I don't know. It's disappointing. That's all I can say. It's just really disappointing in this case. Drake London was one thing, but this is totally different. This is totally different. So I don't know. Maybe we'll trade and get them anyway. I don't know what the point is now. So anyway, guys, as we get ready to wrap up the show officially, we did a little overtime there. But again, thanks to all who listened to the Jerome Jerenovich interview. If you missed it, go back and listen to it, watch it. It was a great interview. Jerome Jerenovich, again, being 40 years in the broadcast game, 15 years on Atlanta, the Hawks Live and Braves Live broadcast, telling us what's going to be happening or what to expect every night was really a treat. And sometimes you take stuff like that for granted when you see other broadcasts of other teams and stuff like that. Jerome was a consummate professional, and he did such a wonderful job just telling those stories as well, you know, kind of giving us how he came up in the game and things of that nature, and just how to look at things and the advice that he gave too. If you are thinking about getting into the industry, the type of advice that he gave in regards to not forgetting how to do certain things and why. So definitely, you know, take a listen if you get a chance. And again, if you missed Around the ATL in the past, definitely catch up. You can listen on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and of course Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio, you always get to listen to past episodes as well. They're all going to be there. But definitely, you know, sink your teeth into some sports because, again, we've had other people we've had interviews of, included Dominique Wilkins, John Collins, Bob Rathman, Steve Holman, Nikki Collin, Angel McCautry. I mean, we have a list of some great people, you know, and it's going to continue. By the way, and I almost forgot. I'm glad I got out thought about this. We're about to end the show, but I wanted to do this. Next Thursday evening at 7 p.m., our next guest is actually also of Atlanta and also in the industry, more on the reporting side. Tanitra Batiste will be on the show. She has been doing her thing for a long time, and we're going to get to hear her talk about sports on the end of getting to meet a lot of these athletes and getting to know who they are and why they do what they do and things of that nature. So look forward to her being on the show. Again, we like to have equal representation on our show. A few years ago, we had Jamila Jay on the show. Great sports journalist in Atlanta. She's always at WNBA, the Atlanta Dream, and, of course, the Hawks basketball games and giving us the scoop on things that are happening in real time. So definitely excited for Tanitra to be on the show next week. I'll be posting that probably later on tonight officially. So be looking forward to that. That being said, go ahead, Jory. You got something?
Graham Coffee, Dog Out West on Twitter, says he's been told by people he trusts that there's rumors going around NFL war rooms that N'Kobe Dean has a torn pectoral muscle. No idea if it's true. Hated for Dean has a long history of teams starting rumors in hopes a player falls to them. He did have labrum surgery back in January of 2021. But my question to that is, 20 picks on him? I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's not a career-ending injury. I mean,
didn't the linebacker that got hurt at the combine get drafted ahead of Dean? And that was recent. That just literally kind of my head is hurting.
He's passing along the information, sir.
My head is hurting now.
Torn pick deal. I mean, you're not drafting necessarily a guy to be able to just because he can come in and play right now, you want to draft the best football player long term, right? I mean, and who knows if this is even true, but
Just for the fact that it's out there, and again, I don't know if since we've been talking the last few minutes, if he still hasn't been drafted yet, but if all of a sudden he's in the third round, then maybe it could be true at that point. Because, like, why else hasn't he been drafted at that point, right? This is the best line. This is one of the best linebackers out there, right? So we're getting to the nitty-gritty going into this, what is it, 9 o'clock? I don't know when the second round ends, but goodness, like, I don't know. That still doesn't even make sense. Because you still, why wouldn't you want to throw a flyer out there and just find out what you got? You know, because he is the talent that he is. But I don't know. That doesn't make any sense for me. So everybody, I'm so excited again. You know, it's been a while since we've been on the air regularly. This is our third show this week, actually. So is this one of those deals where just trying to kind of get back into a regular segment of things? You know, this was our first interview of 2022. Jerome, again, was really excited about that. That was pretty hype to hear him say that as far as that goes. And, again, we had our draft show earlier in the week, and we had our first show, I think it was Tuesday of the week, you know, talking sports. So, again, if you love Atlanta sports and you love all the teams in Atlanta, college and pro, definitely listen to Around the ATL. Again, follow us on Twitter, IMTM Radio on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and Jordan 23 ATL as well. That's correct, right?
Yes.
And, of course, on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio. But subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's easy. IMTM Worldwide Radio on YouTube. You get all the shows as far as that goes.
UGA Pat says, actually, I wouldn't mind if the Falcons moved to somewhere like St. Louis.
I mean, I'm 50% there. Like I said the other night on Twitter, man, the color blue is kind of looking better right now. I don't know. I might have to, you know, I don't know. I might have to start thinking. I got to think about some life choices here because right now, again, if we're just talking about, this is level it. Yes, wide receiver was a need. But was it a bigger need than our defense when you had all these receivers that were going to be available anyway? But right now, when you just look at it, we've only really filled one position truly, and that was that defensive end. I believe that guy could be good, okay, just on that end. But we could have had so many others, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't know. I'm not comfortable right now. And depending on what we do, the third round, I mean, think about it. We got, what, 2 6-round picks? We're not going to be getting anybody who can immediately help us at that point, whether or not we even keep those picks. I think we have a 4th-round pick, right? So like you said, you know, who would we get at in the fourth round that would be spectacularly helping us as a need on the defensive or the offensive end, mostly on the line? Like, we haven't picked the offensive lineman yet. Right? So
yeah, that's where I was going to go. We're already round 3, unless we trade back up into this round somehow. Here we go. We've yet to address the offensive line. Now, granted, maybe this class may be a little bit deeper than last year's class, or maybe we could take somebody that's more ready. But just looking at what the third round pick, Jalen Mayfield, did starting for us last year, and yet you're going to wait to the third round again to address the offensive line. And see, that's why I wouldn't have touched receiver as early as we did. And I certainly would not have even taken his linebacker outside of N'Kobe Dean at that position. Now, granted, we need more help there because we lost Poirier, but you only got 2 guys starting that position. One of them is going to be Deebo as long as he's here, and the other one we have got Mikael Walker, who's been getting snaps his first couple of years in the league, who I believe is ready to step in and start. I was fine with making an exception on that if you take the Kobe Dean, but I don't see the reason of taking this guy unless this guy can actually play some edge too. But I just don't see it.
I technically don't want to see the presser on this, but I kind of almost have to because I just want to see how wild and crazy explanations they're going to have to say this player was so much better than Dean, or they're going to try to split hairs somehow. I'm like, by every measurable, Dean is better than this particular player. I'm sorry. I don't want to insult nobody, but he just is. He just is. So, again, it's just like, I don't know. This was a needs analysis draft, and we needed it. Happy. Say it again.
Before we get all the way up to here, I do want to try to pull up the number, the stats for the guy we drafted, Mr. Anderson, if I'm not mistaken. I want to try to pull up some numbers on it before we go all the way out the air, just to see, you know, how he compared. What did we say? Dean was, 6.5 sacks, or was it 8.5 sacks last year? I tell you what, man, being a Falcons fan is just—it's not for the faint of heart, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have a strong personality, if you don't have the ability to deal with a lot of adversity, I recommend you don't choose this life as far as being a Falcons fan.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you just want to see the team be successful. Again, they're not going to win every game, but you want them to be trying to win every game and have the capability to win a game. And when you don't ever get to that point, then it gets really hard because it's like, well, why are these other teams getting to compete and we can't? And then it's a matter of, okay, well, who's making the decisions and how are those decisions translating out over time and how much time do you give, you know? And some teams just do a really good job, and some teams don't. Again, that's why the Patriots have all those Super Bowls. They've done a great job over decades, decades, right? And the Falcons haven't, you know, just to be frank. And right now, again, this was a draft that they really needed to hit. You know, we weren't able to do that much in free agency, although we did kind of plug a little hole here, a little hole there, and we'll see what coaching and see if those players really take it upon themselves to say, okay, we're going to really be good. But this draft was loaded, and we can't really afford any misses. We really can't, and that's why, you know, the other day, you know, Jordan said, you know, he has to be the best receiver, Mr. London. And now – This young man, that inside linebacker, he's going to have to be the best. He's going to – he got to be better than Duke Riley. Let me stop. But anyway.
That's
going to
be very hard.
But I'm just saying.
So, what I'm pulling up here, because Montana State doesn't have stats on the normal site where most of the college football stats are.
This isn't even a real school, Jordan. Come on now. This is not cool anymore.
Three tackles. 83 solo tackles. What I'm seeing here, though, is 14 tackles for a loss and 2 sacks. So I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to offer a lot pass rushing-wise. And you had Nakobe Dean that had 10.5 tackles for a loss and 6 sacks, but that's playing in the SEC. You know what I mean? Against some of the best linemen and best coaches and everything else college football has to offer. So, yeah, man.
They can't say, oh, well, being in the SEC don't mean nothing. That, we already know that's just a ludicrous statement if they try to claim that. You see what I'm saying? We just beat the Alabama Crimson Doggone Tide, didn't we? Who's always in the national championship game somehow, every year, beating everybody, right? So, and we've been in the championship game a couple of times in the last few years, right? And beating all these other teams in front of us as well. So, again, they can't say, oh, well, the level of competition don't mean nothing all of a sudden. They can't in this case because we had Dean just win a national championship. That means something. You see what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. This wasn't one that we could miss on, and we missed anyway. You know, and at this point, I don't know. We might be able to get a running back. you know, James Cook or Zeus possibly. Probably, I would probably tend to go towards James Cook a little bit. I don't know, but.
I don't think they're going to take any of them.
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. This right here, it's almost spitting in the face to say, we don't care that the Bulldogs are in Georgia and they just won a national championship and they've got all these great players.
It's, we know that they won a championship, and we know the fans want to take them, so we're not going to take them. I'm leaning towards what my guy just read his tweet earlier. This guy's an op, man. With the Hatfields hire before. You know what I mean?
Sometimes it's just smart to go with the smart play. You know what I'm saying? Don't you? You might say that you're falling into the fandom and things of that nature, but sometimes the fans are a little bit right, because all these other Georgia players are going to do some big things with the teams that drafted them, but just not with us. And we're going to be we're going to be the ones with eggs on our face, and they're going to have to come up with some kind of explanation. But see, the thing of it is that their regime might not be as long as they thought because of this kind of stuff. You know, because now it's like, well, what else are you not going to do right? I want to hear what Dean Pease has to say. I want to know if he backed up this draft pick. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
That's what I need to hear at this point, because we actually had the opportunity to put this smart young man into a Dean Pease system. Remember, Dean Pease said he couldn't put his whole system together because we couldn't touch the quarterback. So he had to peel back what he wanted to really do. You're talking about being able to insert this young man into his defense, along with a good defensive end from Penn State. You know what I'm saying? And then sprinkle in a little bit more. You have AJ. You got Casey. We might have some semblance there, but now we're having to rely on this person who didn't play in the SEC, is nowhere near as good as Dean, and having to say we're going to plug and play him. If this guy is not on the starting lineup somehow or another, and then not even getting any snaps. If John Kaminsky is getting more snaps than this young man, this is not good, you know. And that's all I'm looking at right now. I'm just looking at it just from that standpoint. So I don't know.
And then just for reference, I mentioned, you know, if you're going to double down on anything, you double down on edge rusher. And lo and behold, you know, three picks after we picked, guy mentioned out of USC, Drake Jackson, is taking about a 49ers. Which 49ers already have a good defense. They've got good pass rushers. Yeah, they still continue to load up on edge rushers because they understand how important that position is. And, you know, the Falcons just don't seem to get it. You know,
there's a chance we might draft another wide receiver, man. I just have such a bad feeling right now. I don't know what to say.
We just passed on two Georgia linebackers that's still out there. We're probably taking them up a lot. You probably won't be Jabari Sawyer at this point, man. Like I said, you know, they hate the Bulldogs. I mean, I think it's fair to say it, but the Falcons hate Georgia Bulldog players. I think it's fair to say about that.
Yeah.
Now, we're looking at three different regimes that seem to be intentionally ignoring Georgia football players, man. I don't understand.
And they can't ever give you a good explanation when these players become, you know, Pro Bowlers, and some of them eventually Super Bowl champions, and it's like, oh, well, we just missed on it. But you didn't have to. You could have picked them. You had the pick, and they fell there, and you still didn't do it. You see what I'm saying? It's different if you didn't have the pick.
Jerry Cook just came off the board, number 63 to the Buffalo Bills, so he won't be a Falcon. Number 63 to the Buffalo Bills, so he won't be a Falcon. Taken in the second round. I know another guy, a lot of people like the Falcons, was sick. Juanito out of Oklahoma, he just went to end the second round to the Denver Broncos at pick number 64. So we're looking at it now. We have Zeus White. We have Jabari Sawyer. We have Crowder, the linebacker. Michael Crowder, Tindall, the linebacker. Tay Crowder is already in the NFL. In fact, Tay Crowder was irrelevant last year. He played great as a rookie for the Giants. Well, as a Miller Georgia player, we passed on about 15 times. But, yeah, so we only have Sawyer, Zeus White, Tindall, and the punter. Just that I know
we'll get the punter. We'll get the punter. Watch. We will get the punter. Watch it happen. Watch it happen, I swear. Guys, we're gonna sign off for tonight. Again, hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. Definitely, if you did not get a chance to listen to Jerome Durinovich, I urge you to go back and listen to that first part of the show. That was the 7 o'clock hour. And hopefully everybody enjoyed our talk in regards to the second round thus far. We tried to stay on as long as we could to try to see if we were going to get a UGA guy, and it didn't happen. It was just terrible. I'm like, why did we stay on longer? We didn't need the pain to do this live on television. But anyway, we did. We do everything for the fans of Atlanta. So we'll see what happens and see how this translates and see if we can still fill in some holes. Again, tomorrow's a whole nother day. We'll find out. But again, please make sure you do subscribe to the YouTube channel, IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube, Instagram as well. Make sure you follow both of us on Twitter, Intellect ATL and Jordan 23ATL. Jordan, any other final words before we get out of here, man?
Just want to thank everybody, for listening, and really special thanks to Jerome Durinovich, an outstanding interview, great stories, great insight, as he always provided, on television, just so happy he provided for around the ATL and our listeners today. And last but not least, as always, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe. Talk about this Atlanta and enjoy the sports that I love.
Thanks again, Jerome. Have you on the show real soon, man. And enjoy your retirement as well. Everybody, y'all take care. The Atlanta Falcons, I tell you. Anyway, y'all take care. Bye. Thank you.